And so it is with honor that I give total praise to the Savior. I give total praise for the gift of music. I give total praise for this house, for those who are in it. Lord, we thank you for this day and for allowing us to come and praise your name through the rendering of music on this Music Appreciation Day. Thank you, Father, for being here with us today. Allow us to do nothing but give your name the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Don't blink, because if you blink too long, this preaching message will be over. So I'm telling you up front, I know you all appreciate that in the summertime, that we don't stand here all day long. But somebody needs to know that when there's music in the house, and then we've got music that God set in the house, then we are to praise God in the house. The word said to praise Him in His sanctuary. With the loud cymbals, with the crashing cymbals, with everything that we have in our breath. Praise God. Praise
Him.
Give Him glory. I will tell you a quick couple stories. One was, there was a young man at about age 13 who the Lord touched and was already involved in music and loved music. Was playing the trumpet and cornet, and which is about the same instrument, in the junior high band and then high school band and the marching band, all of that. But at 13, he began to hear from the Lord about playing musical instruments on the fingers. That person was, of course, none other than me. God told me to start learning music. So mama got busy, and she went and found the piano that she thought I would like, set it in there in the house, and I began to start playing music. Couldn't play none of the stuff that I was hearing on the radio, which was what I wanted to do. They were singing all the old-fashioned songs that I loved, and I couldn't play not a one of them, Reverend Jay. I just felt so sorry for myself because I couldn't do nothing. And I wanted to do it so much. And so, as God would have it, He decided that I'd go and take music lessons under a lady who knew nothing but classical music. She knew Bach and Beethoven and all of that stuff. She was a white lady of Greek origin, and she loved music, but she didn't know not how to kind of music. And I was like, well, this is good, this is great. So, you know, I was having a good time with it, you know, doing the Bach Beethoven thing. I thought I was hot shot, you know, but something in my brain kept saying, well, wait a minute. You wanted to play, we come this far by faith. You wanted to say, leaning on the Lord and bang it out like the Wardell Brown Community Chorus used to do. And I was like, I'm waiting, Lord. I want to play. And as God would have it, even though this music teacher got me through my first book in 4 lessons. She said I was one of the fastest learners she had ever had. And I did it in 4 lessons. Even though I had all of that, I was getting the Bach and Beethoven and all of that, I still longed to play the gospel. So at 13, I played with her, and as time went on, I was in high school. My father was a pastor, and he had a band director that played for him. They would light the church up on Sunday morning. They march in, first of all, they do the back step, the front step, the line, and turn to the side, and then they sing like nobody does. Light the church up. Mama and Miss Blunt and all those saints would be walking down the aisle and praising God. And I would be like, Lord, have religion, let me have a little piece of that one day. And come to find out that the Lord decided that I would have a piece of that. Because Mr. Wooten, my music teacher there, the band director, who played everything, said to me, get over there and play. And I was like, who, me? Yes. You must be kidding, because I can't play anything. What I've learned is that stuff on the paper. I don't know none of that stuff. You know it. I just don't know it. Get over there and play, he said. So I began to plunk. Plink, plunk, plunk. And it was a plink, plunk, plunk. There was no rhyme or reason to it, nothing there. Plink, plunk, plunk. But I wanted to play We Come This Far by Faith. So with two fingers, I began to do We Come This Far by Faith.
Amen.
I prayed over my fingers and prayed, God, will you let me learn to play? And God did what God does best.
Well, he does.
He anointed my hands.
Amen.
He anointed my fingers so that such things that I wanted to play in his name would come through.
Amen.
He taught me the hymns. He taught me the anthems. He taught me that good old foot stomping gospel music.
Yes.
Got over there in the Holiness Church and learned them Holiness chords that they be doing. Because, you know, they had to have a good shout every now and then. So I had to learn a little shout to go along with it. He gave me the shout music, Brother CJ. And Rico, all that beating that you be doing, that stomp beat you, yeah, I learned it over there.
Amen.
And so we had a good time in the name of the Lord. And so, what you see standing, and I'm not bragging, all I'm doing is giving total praise to God Almighty for what he's done. And for 50 years, I have been doing just that. The preaching thing came later, but the playing, 50 years plus.
Amen.
And I thank God for every year.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I don't want you all to look at me thinking I have a similar story. Maybe I'm the opposite. The preaching thing came first. Maybe the music will come later on. Well, we bless God for how Pastor Keith has been used by God in the realm of music ministry. Our church is tremendously blessed by his gifts that he continuously gives. But I am this morning going to come to you through a particular scripture. We may have the scripture. Sister Sylvia, we have the scripture. It's coming from 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verse number 23, and most of you are familiar. And it says, and whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away. Just for a few minutes, saints, if you would bear with me for a few minutes, I want to talk with you about the right anointing. The right anointing. It is more than interesting, my brothers and sisters, to see how God used Saul and David, Pastor Keith, as instruments in his kingdom. If you all may recall, we see in the Bible where David actually was going to replace Saul as the king. And there was a whole lot of stuff that was going on in between those two.
But there's a particular piece of their lives that I wanted to pick up on this morning as we talk about our Music Appreciation Sunday.
Nice.
You see, as different as they were, these two men, Reverend Veronica, they still had some similarities. Samuel, who was the priest, had the pleasure of anointing both of them. Neither Saul nor David actually were pursuing their position. You know, sometimes people go down after something when they want it real bad. And there's nothing wrong going after what you want. But I'm just saying, in their situation, neither of them were pursuing their positions. Both of them were really unlikely candidates. Why? Because Saul was a member of a small tribe, and David was the youngest in his family. You know, we always go with the oldest, right? Amen. We start in birth order. But David was the youngest, therefore most unlikely. Both of them were impressive in appearance. And the Bible teaches us that the Spirit came mightily upon them when they were anointed as king. But there's a big difference here, my brothers and sisters, that we need to see and understand, and that is David was a man after God's own heart. We find that in 1 Samuel 13 and 14, and Saul simply was not. But as we read through chapter number 16 in 1 Samuel, we see Saul and David actually developed a relationship. This happened when the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, my God, in verse number 14. And the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. My God. Can I just put a pin right there for a moment? Because having both depression and fear had to be a terrifying combination. Come on, somebody. Depression, we all understand, is really a mood disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness and a loss of interest. In other words, the things that you used to enjoy, the stuff that you like to do, the things you, the places you like to go, the people you used to hang out with, you have no interest in doing those things anymore. It affects the way you feel, it affects the way you think, it affects the way you behave, and can lead you to a number of emotional and physical problems. I'm talking about depression. Depression is something that we see a lot in the world in which we live. Amen, somebody. Now, fear, on the other hand, is one of those things that really can show up at any time there's a threat or it looks like somebody's about to be harmed. And sometimes there's not even a real threat. Sometimes it's just imagined.
Yeah.
But still, people get fearful.
Right.
Now, depression is one of those things that really can slow you down, and fear is one of those things that can put you in that mode of fight, flight, or freeze.
Amen.
And so we can see that Saul was in a real bind. So what verse 15 in the text says, some of Saul's servants said to him, a tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. And verse 16 says, let us find a good musician, come on here somebody, to play the harp. Whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you, he will play soothing music, and you will soon be well again. That's Bible right there. And see, I can only imagine how Saul must have been behaving towards his servants. When this tormenting, and some translations call it an evil spirit, fell upon him, I bet they would have done just about anything to calm him down or to bring him back to his senses. If you've ever been around somebody who had a tormenting spirit about them, and it looked like they were out of control. But the word got back to Jesse, who was David's daddy, and they were asking that his little shepherd boy would bring his services because they were needed by King Saul. And Jesse sent David to be the musician for Saul. David soon became his armor bearer. I mean, they were good bosom buddies at the time. You see, in those ancient days in Israel, an armor bearer was that person that served as your personal attendant and was a warrior chieftain. You see, the Bible teaches us that Jesse arranged for David to continue serving while still fulfilling his duties as a shepherd at home. Oh, come on here, David. I guess somebody might say David is what you call bivocational. He still did a shepherd's job by day, but he played music for Saul by night. But our scripture goes on when we get down to verse number 23. And it says, whenever the tormenting spirit from God, I wish I had time to go there, but from God troubled Saul, then David would begin to play the harp. Then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would just go away. When I read that verse, what comes to mind is that David had the right anointing for his calling. And I am confident, church, that we can say the same thing about the musicians at RCF too, that they have been gifted with the right anointing for their calling. Morning. We have been gifted with these musicians. I'm talking about some of the musicians that we've had in our past, the musicians we have in our present, and I'm already going to speak that if anybody comes in the future, they're going to come already with the anointing that the Lord has given. Amen. Amen. Somebody, I'm almost done. See, we know musicians who are accomplished. Yes, we know musicians who are learned and skillful and talented, and all of those qualities are great and they're wonderful. But when it comes to serving in the church of Jesus Christ, we need saints that are anointed. Oh, yes, we do. You can come in here and you can be good. You can know all the right notes. You can know when to stop and when to start, when to get loud and when to get soft. But if you don't have the anointing of God, I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. You see, when an anointed saint uses his or her gifts in the church, it's a whole new situation. Am I right about it? You see, the anointing makes the difference in having people come into the church one way and leave out another. I'm almost done. You see, Saul was changed by the playing of David because David was anointed for his calling. I just wanted to tell you, when you have the right anointing, my Bible teaches me in Isaiah 10 and 27, he says that, you know, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. When the anointing shows up, the people of God are tremendously blessed. They begin to see themselves as empowered to get through mountains, to get through obstacles. When the anointing comes, it begins to heal those who come in broken hearts. It begins to touch us in our spirits. It brings sight to the blind. And good God from Zion, it's the anointing that will set the captives free. Oh my goodness, church, on this Music Appreciation Sunday 2024, may I call out your name, Sultan, and CJ and Rico and Pastor Keith and Alan and Caden and Kaylin as our inspiration. My word to the musicians in this house that's going on, that's holding us down, begins to release whatever has us bound, begins to loosen whatever has us worried, is replaced by God's peace. Whatever has us depressed, depression has got to go. Whatever has us upset will upset us no more. It is something, something about the music. Something about the music that has a way of reaching us in places when words might fail. My word to each and every musician in the house, keep playing to the honor and to the glory of our God. For Jesus has given you the right anointing. I'm telling you, he's given you the right anointing for such a time as this. You and you and you and you and you and you.